Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome back for another OG Show Live. Mr. Randall, how you doing?
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Reel Down.
Welcome back to another episode of Bass Fishing for News.
Hi, boys and girls. Welcome to, once again, Bass Kayak Appears.
Brother! This is the final cast.
Another segment of Chasing the Tide, your saltwater connection on the Paladin.
Welcome back, everyone. Another episode of Feather and Fur, your host,
Randall. Welcome back to the Mindset Podcast. I'm your host, Crystal.
Hey, welcome back to Off the Water.
This is Q here with Adventures of Outdoor Woman Podcast.
Hey, guys. Welcome to the Rusty Hook Kayak Fishing Podcast.
We're brought to you by Pelican, built tough for all situations. Go to pelican.com. Eastport Marina on the beautiful shores of Dale Hollow Lake. For all your lodging, kayaking, go to eastport.info. Yak Gadget. For all your fine kayak fishing accessory needs, go to yakgadget.com. What's going on, Facebook Live, YouTube listeners of the podcast? Welcome. Hey, Jay.
Hey, Bri.
This should be fun. This should be fun. We opted to not have a guest on this evening. We just wanted to kind of run a solo show and talk a little bit about what we got going on, what we got coming up, maybe some other hot topics or something. I don't know, but it should be a fun show. We haven't done one of these in a hot minute. We always got a guest on, so should be a good one.
Yes, sirree.
That means Jay's got to talk tonight.
Nope. One word. Well, that was two. Oh, that was two as well. No, that was three.
What's up, Nicholas? Watching on YouTube. Hope you're well, man. Hope you're well. But yeah, what's good, man? I mean, we've both been talking on the phone, obviously, quite a bit, and it's like We should just do a podcast right now because, like, that's how our conversations go.
I feel like the past two have definitely been like there would have been pretty good podcasts. I think.
What was it last night? I think we were on the phone for like an hour and 40 last night.
Was it an hour and 40?
I'm gonna look.
No way,
dude. It was.
I don't even like talking to you that long. There's no. I have an alarm that goes off.
Hour and 37 minutes.
There's no way.
Dude, iPhone doesn't lie, bro.
Well, I think you pretty much said it in the very beginning, iPhone. I don't know, man.
But no, it's good, man. We've been bouncing some ideas off each other. We're both kind of doing some new stuff this fall.
Yes, sir.
I mean, fishing season is kind of wound down for the both of us, which, you know, is good and bad. Like, I miss that fall bite, but at the same time, like, I think I was telling you, and I know I told my old man, I'm like, hunting season's like 3 months out of the year. I could fish all year round. So,
oh, sure.
You know, I kind of shut down and get ready for that and kind of been.
It's exciting, though, right? You know what I mean? It's like you wait this whole year, you know, you wait all year, I mean, at least for deer. You know, and then, you know, it's upon us and, you know, you've got new places. I've got new places. It's like, so it's like, all right, cool. Let's get out there.
Well, it's the same, like maybe not necessarily for you anymore, Mr. Tennessee, but you know, you wait all winter for it to start warming up so you can hit that open water fishing bite again, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. It's kind of that same feeling, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you get through the whole fishing show season and, you know, and then it's all right, let's get back on the water. You know, you get all amped up through the winter and ice fishing and all that stuff. And, you know, all that good stuff. Yeah. Nicholas says the fall bite is tough here in Maryland.
Maybe, man, for Beth.
You just got to go follow around Derek Brundle's up that way, man. Just go find that guy and follow him around for a minute.
You that or switch it up, man. Go for something different.
Yeah, I know. Like, it's funny. I was on the Noob Show that aired this week with Sean and Susie. Susie's been co-hosting with Sean, so that's kind of a cool dynamic there. But we were talking about fall transitions. I'd recommend go listen to that show. You know, it's there was a lot of good insight on it. I remember we finished recording, I think it was like Sunday night or something, but I was thinking to myself, I was like, man, there's a lot of good info in there. It kind of makes me want to, you know, get back out there a few more times before I hang up the fishing rods for the year. Just because, you know, your techniques are a little bit different than summer and things like that. You know, it's, you know, jerk bite bait starts coming into play.
Crankbaits.
Yeah. We were talking about like how shad start to die off. So, you know, mm-hmm. using like a flutter spoon or a weightless. Why do I always forget the name of this? A weightless fluke.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, so you got that slow fall and a little bit of flash as it's dropping down mm-hmm. in that water column, and they'll come up and smash it, you know?
Yeah.
It's fall time, you know, those bass are putting on the feed bag, getting ready for winter. And again, depends where you're at, you know. Nicholas is obviously in the north, being in Maryland. So, you know, they're going to push up shallow, start chasing around, mm-hmm. you know, bait fish, things like that, and just feeding, you know. But I remember the first 20-inch bass I caught out of a kayak was like end of September, beginning of October here on the home lake. And I was just ripping a chatterbait through the weeds, and he just smoked it, you know.
I love the power fishing bite, man. I mean, you know, fall, like cranking is so much fun. I love it. I mean, you could do it in the spring, but man, in the fall, it is just fun, you know.
I even got into doing a little bit this summer out deep and caught a few fish doing that, mm-hmm. you know, kind of switched it up from the shaky head. Like, we were on that swim bait bite with an underspin, and I was like, you know what, I'm going to whip a crankbait a few times, and I caught some nice fish on it. And it's so much fun on that moderate rod, dude. Like, you know, that rod loads up and it's just like game on, you know?
Yeah. And like throwing like what, like a flat sided, you know, crank out there. I mean, those are usually going to generate some pretty hard hits, especially as the temperatures start to drop.
Oh yeah, for sure. Well, and that's just it too, right? Like, we talked about like how that water temperature transition kind of works out, because, you know, all summer long, like, your warm water's been up on the surface, your cool water's been out deep. And, you know, that's why a lot of bigger fish transition out to that deeper thing. And then right now with the cooler nights, that surface temp is kind of cooling down. So that warmer water is kind of in that in between, you know, and then as the day warms up, that water warms up, and then they push up shallow, and then they kind of go back out. And then, you know, come winter time, you know, you hear about lake turnover. Basically what's happening is your cool water's on top and your warmer water's down deep. So that's why, like, when we ice fish a lot, we're fishing deeper holes and things sure. like that, or deeper structure, because that's where the warmer water is. The coldest water is actually right under the ice.
Well, it's, you know, so I think it has more to do with too, that that those temperature levels are constant at a certain depth. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you're not having the fluctuation.
Yeah. As much. Yeah. So that's, you know, they're pretty much just going to use everything else as like a buffer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I think even was it like, I think, I don't know if it was Gene Jensen that said it, or it was Ron Champion, but they were talking about fishing in Georgia, like in the dead of summer. Like you got to be careful how you fight your bass on the way up, because mm-hmm. you could kill them because of the temperatures.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that plays all into it. Yeah. I mean, but the fall bite, man, it's, I was just telling you, like, I miss already the northern falls. You know, northern autumn, that is, you know.
It was a high of like 65 today.
Yeah. See,
so it's nice and cool.
It's cool great. Here right now. But it was like hot, you know, like, well, yesterday, you know, and then
today was the first day of fall, wasn't it? Was it today or yesterday?
I guess yesterday. I don't even pay attention to that anymore.
Well, the only reason why I know is because Susie had mentioned it.
You're probably right. 9/21. That seems about right.
Yeah, today's the 22nd.
Yeah.
Either way, it was either yesterday or today.
This transition, I think. I mean, if I had to pick, like, of all the seasons, I think, you know, fall, like especially the transition into fall and even out of fall, it's probably some of the best times of the year.
I agree, man. You get those cooler nights, mm-hmm. still relatively warm during the day. Leaves are changing colors, you know, get a little bit more breeze. I don't know. It seems like nature is kind of making that transition, and it's cool
to sit
back and watch it. Yep. You know, whether you're fishing, hunting, whatever it may be. You know?
Like, remember how I mentioned, like, that smell in the air?
Yeah.
It's like, it's so distinct, you know, especially in the Midwest. You know, it's like, it'll be interesting because I haven't experienced a fall out here yet. So, you know, it's funny. Like, I'm like, I want cold. And these people are like, you're nuts. You know,
they're going to be wearing winter jackets and you're going to be wearing basketball shorts and a t-shirt.
Dude, I know. It's like, man, it's so funny. I've already had talks to some of the neighbors about it, and they basically like end up bundling up, and I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, I was like, it gets down to, like, you know, I mean, it gets in the 40s and stuff, but I mean, but so what? You know, it's like, I don't know. It's kind of a wet cold out here, so I get it, because it's like technically a rainforest, you know, or the climate is out here. But yeah, so if anybody doesn't know, I'm in the Smokies in the East Tennessee.
Yeah.
Like in that area. So I'm surrounded by mountains, and we, like, the Smoky Mountains are like everywhere. Like, even not even outside the Smoky Mountains, there's Smoky Mountains. So, you know, so we don't call those Smoky Mountains, but those are mountains too.
Well, it's like, I'm getting ready. I'm heading north this weekend. Duck season opens in northern Wisconsin and on Saturday. And we've been kind of watching the weather forecast, and it's basically 50% chance of rain Saturday, Sunday, and Monday.
Ooh, sounds perfect.
Well, it's good duck weather, but like the high is like 58 degrees, you know? And I think I was telling you last night, like the low up there tonight or last night was like 32 already.
Yeah.
You know, you're talking like right there, right off of, right on the border of Upper Peninsula of Michigan and Wisconsin, mm-hmm. you know, a hop, skip, and a jump from Lake Superior. So, which is good because it should start pushing some birds south and, you know, get them up, moving around and things like that. And I've already noticed just over the past 2 weeks, more birds showing up down here. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So you can kind of see that. Whereas I was up on the Mississippi River like 3 weekends ago or whatever it was, and we saw some of your, you know, wood ducks, mallards, things like that, but you weren't seeing huge flocks or huge pods. Those were just like resident birds hanging out, you know? Mm. So it should be interesting, you know. We're camping on a primitive site, so the Mr. Buddy heater might be getting thrown in the truck already.
I would bring it with. I mean, especially like what you're going to be sleeping in, running that thing's not going to be a big deal.
No, I mean, I've done it before. Like, we've camped out on the ice, you know, with it running and,
yep,
you know, no issues. You just got to have the vents open. And
it's plenty of airflow in that thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, wait, I mean, it's not. Because that's the ice shanty, or not the shanty, but the ice shack.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pop-up tent, virtually, you know. And I camped out of it when I was up on the Mississippi a couple weeks ago. Just set up the cot in there, man. You got plenty of room. Super comfortable. Crack a window, you know, things like that.
Is it is it waterproof?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Definitely waterproof. Or waterproof.
Well, you know how that is. It's different for like snow and stuff, and then versus like rain.
Chris Yonk in the house. It's been a while, my friend.
It's not pronounced. It's pronounced Chris Jotch.
No, it's Yonk.
I know. I just kidding.
After what, 3 years, I finally got it right. I know. You know? I saw him and Grimsley did really well in their. I believe it was their trail championship, or it was.
Yeah.
One of their trail events, they both were up there. I think Chris took like third or fourth, and what's his face took first.
Grimsley, really?
Yeah, Grimsley. Yeah, he's been on a tear this year over there.
I miss Grimsley, man. He's such a riot.
I talked to Eldridge the other day, and we had quite a few laughs, and he's doing real well, and I miss him.
That's cool.
Yeah, so.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, but yeah, man, it's you know, it's exciting times. I mean, and you know what, deer season opens for you Saturday, right?
Yes, sir.
Nice.
I'm ready.
Well, it's kind of unique, right? Because obviously you've been hunting here in the Midwest for the past, you know, couple of years, and you moved to Tennessee, go set a trail camera, and now you got elk showing up on your trail camera, which
tons of elk.
You're like, dude, like, what is this?
If I was hunting for elk, I would have a lot of deer on that camera. So we know how this would go.
Yeah, right.
You know, but yeah, I'm always sending you pictures of elk. I mean, I don't even send you all of them. I mean, there's
that one bull elk that walked through the other day that you sent me was huge. I was like, dude, you got to get in on that because I know they opened that up, you know, and it's kind of cool to see that, you know. It's like, we talk about fish habitat restoration and stuff all the time, but to see what they're doing for, it's not necessarily hunting, but like elk used to roam, what, 80% of the United States. And you're seeing a lot of states reintroducing herds of elk in all these different states, and they're thriving, you know, which is awesome to see. Like, I know what, Tennessee, Pennsylvania, UP, Wisconsin,
Minnesota's probably got something going on too.
Yeah, I believe Minnesota definitely has some. I mean, that whole northern part of the country, you know, is pretty much getting reintroduced, which is great, and it's cool to see, man. Like, how cool is that? Like, you could drive 20 minutes from your house and hear an elk bugling in the woods as you're taking a hike, you know? Like,
yeah, it's pretty unique, man. I mean, and here's a testament to like the whole conservation side of things, right? Because I mean, obviously elk were like, you know, dang near, you know, wiped out you know, back in the day in these areas, along with other animals, you know, because we were so awesome. And then they, you know, they start bringing them back, and it's been so good, or it's actually working so well here in Tennessee that they're actually going to offer more tags next year.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing up north Wisconsin, you know, from what I understand, you know, it's, you know, those herds are growing and they're kind of spreading out a little bit. And, I don't know, man, like I told you, I would start applying for that, get some preference points and things like that. Cause those are all lottery tags and things like that. But it's kind of the same way with buffalo. Like I know, in the Dakotas, you know, the buffalo got wiped out years ago and they've rebuilt that to the point where now it's like you could almost go buy a tag over the counter.
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, you know, and you know, the thing is too, it's funny with like the decrease of hunters, and then like there's all this, you know, all these different animals now, you know. So I mean, you could, I mean, let's the reality of it is, you know, you get an elk, you know, and again, you can't do that all the time, but you get one, and that's like a half a year to a year's worth of meat, you know.
Dude, I saw an epic. I should have saved it. I think Waypoint TV shared it on their Instagram page, and it was two bull elk fighting in a creek. And the whole time I'm thinking, that's 1,500 pounds versus 1,500 pounds just smashing into each other, like head on. Like they were whack, you know, like just ramming each other and just, you know, battling it out on the antlers. And I'm like, that's intense. That's a lot of weight getting thrown around right now. You know, like people don't realize sometimes how big elk are, you know. They think it's the size of like a white-tailed deer, and it's
what, it's
five times that, you know.
It's definitely not. I mean, it's like night and day.
Well, it's the same thing with a moose, you know, like
that's insane. Yeah.
I remember talking to my uncle, John Rapp, in the house. What's up, brother? Two more,
what's up, Johnny?
Big Daddy. Two more, Big Daddy. Talking to my uncle when he was stationed in Alaska, right? You know, he's like, you hear about people hitting deer here and it smashes up their car a little bit, you know, like you may need a new bumper, windshield, something like that. He's like, in Alaska, people slam into moose, and it completely destroys their car, and a lot of people die from it.
Yeah.
Oh, we got Eric in the house.
Jesus.
we're popping his duck cherry this weekend.
Yeah. Good old Farticus.
It's totally funny because when we were talking about the buddy here, I'm like, am I not need it? Because we got Eric coming with
us. Yeah, there is.
Passing methane gas all night. But it's interesting, right? Like, you know, you see a video or a photo of these animals. You don't get the actual perspective. Like a moose, I think on average is like what, 3,000 pounds?
I have no idea. I all I know is I saw like the back end of one in Vermont. That was it.
I've seen them a few times in the wild.
Yeah. Everyone just says just stay away from them.
So average weight of a moose is 840 to 1,500 pounds.
Oh yeah. Elk are 800 to 1200.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure you can get your 1500 pounders in there.
Yeah. But average weight of a male elk is 700 to 750 and a female 5 to 550.
See, there's though. I'm just going to stop saying stats cuz I don't know anything.
Well, I knew one of them was 1500 pounds. Yeah. I just wasn't sure which one, but
I mean, I guess it depends where you like. I mean, cuz I've seen large, you know, 8 to 12, and you're right. And then I've also heard like 400 to 500, you know, in some instances. And I think maybe that has to do with, you know, geographically, like where they live, what's available to them, just like with deer, right? Like you got, you know, deer are built different in the Midwest versus like here and further south. You know, the deer are smaller.
So I typed in what's the average weight of an Alaskan moose, and it's slightly more. It's 1,200 to 1,600 pounds.
Still a huge animal.
Oh, dude. Yeah, I mean, can you imagine hitting that? That's like hitting a brick wall, bro.
I remember like a long time ago, we were on a snowboard trip and we were going through Wyoming, and it was, I think it was like in the evening or something. And we were going around a turn and we had a Ford Escort, and the lights just went right. Like basically just, you saw the bottom half of an elk and that was it. You just saw four giant legs and like a bottom half of a body, you know, and then we just cruised right by. I was like, wow. I mean, the lights didn't even go up any higher, you know?
Sure.
So,
sure.
I mean, I could only, you know, wonder what would have happened to that escort had we made contact.
Well, they reintroduced some moose out in that Colorado, Wyoming area years back, and those are thriving. But Eric may have even been on this trip with us, but we were staying at my buddy's place in right next to Winter Park, and he's up on a mountainside. And there was a moose just chilling in the ditch. And I got photos of it on my Facebook page. But I went walking up to that thing. When that thing stood up, I backed up. And I was like, you know, these things are prone to, you know, charge people and things like that. And like,
they tell people stay away from them.
Like, yeah. They're kind of blind and dumb, you know? So,
yeah. So when we were mountain biking out there, they were, because I mean, you know, over there at, what is it? Kingston Trails, I think is what it's called. It's been a while, long time. They were saying if you run into one, they're like, just stop and just kind of like, you know, dismount your bike and just stand there and chill.
Sure.
You know, and then just don't make any, you know, don't turn away from it. Just like look at it, stand there. And I'm like, I don't want to do anything like that. I'm like, you guys got bears out here too, man. I was like, you guys, all kinds of danger up there. You know, not to mention, you know, like I ran over a grouse that like nailed me in the leg.
So Eric said he does remember that. So he was on that Colorado trip, but I forgot about this one too. We were up in the UP and there was a moose that walked down the main drag up there in town. Mm-hmm. And Eric slept in. He had a few too many pops the night before, so to speak. But yeah, good stuff. Good stuff. Well, you're kind of changing up tactics this year for your deer hunt. You want to talk about that a little bit, like your setup?
Yeah, I am gonna jump on the wagon and get it. Well, I got a saddle.
He jumped on the wagon.
I jumped on the saddle wagon.
Yeah. Saddle wagon. There you go.
The saddle wagon. No, it's cool. I you know, the way I saw it was I see the tree stands have a place, right? But it just seems so cumbersome to drag something like that around a lot, you know, all the time. And from like hunting with you, like we're so mobile.
Mm-hmm.
I really like that aspect. You know, and I saw saddle hunting as a way to still be able to do that, you know, so like I could still stalk and whatever. And then if I want to ascend a tree, I can still ascend a tree, you know, there's a lot of versatility to it. I mean, and just for perspective, I mean, this is the saddle, man.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, everything you need to climb is right in here right now, you know, and this is the Latitude Method 2, which is probably one of the more expensive ones. I mean, Tethered. So some more affordable. Tethered is kind of under Latitude, but in terms of price, what's that new one? It's like the Rage Cruiser. I think it's called. That Cruiser one looks like a great option. You could buy all in one setup. I think it's on Amazon too. But even Latitude's on Amazon. But anyway, this is the whole setup, man. I mean, what's cool about theirs, they have magnets in theirs. So it just kind of collapses on itself and closes up. It's also too, because they have a two-part system and the magnets hold it together. So, and they're pretty good magnets too. But they have this, so you basically have a lumbar support, and then you've got the saddle itself. So when you want stuff out of the way, the magnets just collapse on it, and you know it's out of the way, pretty much. But yeah, it's really cool, man. I mean, I've had to kind of educate myself on more knots, things of that nature, and you know the what if scenarios. You know, because it is kind of weird, but I guess it's not really, because I mean, if you're doing hang on stands and everything else, it's in a way, it's kind of the same thing, but not, you know, in terms of how you tether yourself and hang there basically. But there's a lot more versatility with a saddle too, because you could go 360 around a tree, you know?
Yeah, especially, well, you need a platform, right?
Yeah, I don't have that. Do have that, but it's downstairs. Yeah, the platform is basically like a tree stand, like a hang on stand base, except it's more like, you know, about this. Well, it can be smaller, of course, but mine's kind of, you know, I wanted both my feet to fit on there. So
sure.
And I ended up with the tethered Predator XL.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which again, there are some cheaper options, but I think when it comes to the platforms, I'm definitely going to spend that money. Well, I guess that you would anyway, just from a safety standpoint, even on a saddle, but definitely on a platform. You know, you might as well just try to get the best. And tethered is not the best, but like they're, you know, basically up there with all the other really good ones.
Sure.
Because even Latitude makes, you know, one and all that. But yeah, so you have, so basically you have this, and then you have a platform, of course, and also climbing sticks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could do sticks, you can do 4 sticks, 3 sticks, 2 sticks, 1 stick. There's all different ways to get up that tree, and a lot of like arborist type applications are applied. That's where tethered came from.
Sure.
But yeah, I mean, it's really interesting though. It's kind of cool because I'm also learning like how to climb trees with ropes. You know.
Yeah, it's, well, going back to the versatility, I think it was last night I was watching a Hunting Public video on YouTube. If you guys don't follow them, go give them a follow.
Yeah, go follow them. They're worth it.
We mentioned them in the tick episode, and we gotta jump on that too after this. But they were out scouting, bumped a buck, went back to that same relative area the next day. They were had their saddles climb up in a tree. This buck is cruising straight for him, but then kind of turned and dropped down behind a hill a little bit, but it was super windy. So they popped down the tree, circled around the backside of the hill, and came out. This deer walked, I think he said it was 12 yards from him, and just smoked this giant.
Yeah, when they first saw it. Yeah, I saw that too. When they first saw it, it was like 30 yards away, and they were like going up like that little gully.
Yeah.
Like, and they were just like, man, ankle deep and like crunchy leaves too, which it was like, I mean, it was like the loudest you've ever been, you know. But yeah, that was pretty intense. I mean, that was smart because, again, you can, if you're like, oh, this isn't working, you can get down. And those guys don't necessarily, like, they'll just get down.
Yeah.
They'll leave the platform up there and everything else. Yep. And they'll cruise, and then they'll just go back, you know, and go get their stuff.
Yeah, I was thinking about that scenario because I had a couple situations last year where I probably could have capitalized on doing that instead of just staying planted in the tree. You know, because I was downwind of the deer.
Yeah.
Or, you know, he was upwind, whatever. But I could have probably capitalized on that situation had I gotten down. And it was like one of those things, like it makes you kind of think like, oh, maybe I'm doing this a little wrong. Or, hey, like this is an option. Like I can get down and, you know, get in front of this deer and, you know, get a better opportunity, so to speak, to harvest.
I think it's effort, right? I mean, I think, you know, when you go in there, and I've had situations that are even beyond hunting where I go into a situation and I'm like, I'm only doing this.
Yeah.
You know, and that's all I do, you know, well, and I paid the price for that, you know, but.
Well, that's just it, right? Like, it's the same way. Like, you know, I talked about it last year. I'm using the same setup this year, but I got climbing sticks and a hang-on tree stand, lone wolf tree stand, which super lightweight, definitely an investment, but well worth it when you're packing in, you know, mile, half mile, whatever it may be. But, you know, you do all that work to set up that stand, and then you're like, well, why would I get down out of this? You know, like I'm at the vantage point, but realistically the vantage point is we're in front of wherever that deer is going, right? Whether you be on the ground, up in a tree, shooting them from a helicopter, whatever, you know what I mean? Like the advantage is being in front of that animal, you know, in the direction they're heading.
Yeah. So, I mean, and even like we were talking about, like, so when I go out this weekend, I got to do something like some grown-up stuff on Sunday, but I'm still going to get out. But you're on Saturday, I guess, I know, according to my license, not in my head though, but, as every man,
according to your, according to your license, you're an old man. I'm just,
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm a young buck, but,
eventually that baby face is going away, my friend.
Yeah, I know. It's all good. I just stay out of the sun and be like, you know, Dracula. But no, I mean, you know, I was talking about, you know, so I'm going to bring the saddle and in the morning hit the tree, but I'm also, because of where I'm hunting, there's a ground blind option. So I'm going to bring my little ground blind with, and I'm still deciding on which one. I don't know if I want to do like the bow one or the crossbow one.
Sure.
But I mean, I'm going to stay versatile. So that way, if one doesn't work out, I kind of know where I can basically sit over a nice field and have, you know, a pretty good reach into some areas I've seen plenty of animals come out to, especially at dusk.
Sure, sure, sure.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, those animals are going to move down the same game trail, you know? So, yep. I mean, that's the thing, you know? It's,
yeah, and I saw where they go, like, they come out and go in, too. So that's, like, half the battle right there.
Like I told you, I hope a bull elk comes in at 20 yards and just starts howling at you.
Yeah, I know. It's like, even all I can do is watch, you know. I'll try to get some video or something, but
then yeah, but how cool is that, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know, that's something I've always fascinated about, like, just, you know, having a bull elk just walk, you know,
yeah,
within shooting distance and just bugle. Like, that's got to be so intense, whether I'm hunting it or not, you know, just to see that massive animal make that huge noise, you know, just right there in your.
I suspect it'll probably happen because, I mean, you know, when you get out there in the mornings, especially now that the temperatures are starting to dip at night.
Sure.
It gets like smoky out here, so to speak. And nothing can see very far in front of it, so you never know what's gonna come walking by, really.
Sure.
You know, sure. It's like the best possible cover, like, especially in the morning.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be interesting, man. I'm excited to hear about opening morning for you, and I'm, you know, excited for, you know, my good friend Eric in the chat to get up north, experience his first duck season, and, you know, we kind of introduced him to rifle deer season last year, and he had a really good time, even though he didn't harvest an animal. But he's like, dude, just this whole experience was really cool. So, you know, I'm excited for that, man. I always love seeing people get into the outdoors, no matter what it is, you know.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Don't miss Mondays with Into the Blue, brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors. Every Monday night from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.
It's almost done packing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, that's another thing I can't wait to do out here is, just from talking to a lot of people, at least on the east side of the state, archery really isn't that big, in which dumbfounds me, but also I'm not going to say I understand it. But when I moved here, I'm like, where are all the archery stores? You know, because sure. I'm used to like over by you. You got one in, like next town over from you. You know, it's
right.
I had a shooting range, you know, and shop. And I mean, they're just accessible here. Not so much, you know. And then I found out everybody, well, not everybody, but a large majority of the state are Orange Army.
Yeah.
So that's when everybody comes out of the woodwork, you know. And plus out here, the rut is the first 2 weeks of November. So, and that's, you know, pretty much when they're allowed to come out and play, you know, like sometime. Sure. I got to look up the date, but I'm going to join it this year. I mean,
yeah, why not?
I mean, why not? I mean, exactly. I mean, it's what an experience. I mean, you know, when you're, you know, not counting Wisconsin, but when you're so used to restrictive rules and regulations in Illinois, mm-hmm. or, I mean, obviously you can't, even, I mean, you can do, there are variances on the rifles that you can use now, but largely it's always been slugs.
Sure.
It's in terms of hunting, and somebody would be like, not in private. Yeah, I know, not in private, but you get my point.
Right.
But in Wisconsin, right, you could just, one of the things I love about Wisconsin is you go to a stretch of public land, you just walk in with your rifle,
mm-hmm.
you know, but even better than that, Tennessee's rifle season is like a month and a half.
Oh, that's crazy, dude.
You know what I mean? So it's, and you could just, I mean, there's regulations everywhere, right? But you can, you know, as long as you like look everything up, I mean, there's state regulations, and then there's what's it called? Hunting area regulations, and there's different levels of hunting areas, so they all offer something different.
Sure.
But I mean, it's bottom line, this is gonna be cool, because it's just, all I had to do is just drive up into the mountains and then just start, you know, I don't have to do that, but I mean, where I am though, that's where I'm going to go. There are some other areas that are a little, more like plains friendly, but we're talking like 2 hours west, you know, getting into like more butted up against farmland and stuff like that. There's not a ton of that here.
Sure.
So you've got to rely on what the forest can provide more than, you know, corn and soy and whatever else is out there.
Right. No, it should be cool, man. I'm interested to see how that all turns out for you, man. And I'm excited, man. It's always cool to hunt a new area, state, whatever it may be, you know. It's mm-hmm. it's all kinds of different terrains, you know.
Yeah, and everybody's really cool out here, you know. But I mean, I don't, it's just really neat to explore these areas, you know. Course there's some drawbacks to that, but I mean, it's this is beautiful country, man. It just really is, you know. And I can't wait until you come out here or some of the other guys, you know, and really just, you know, we can all dive deep into this, man. But it's just really amazing out here.
Heck yeah. It's,
you know, you can really stretch out your arms out here, you know,
for sure. Well, we were talking about that the other night on the phone, you know, like in Tennessee with all that TVA land, you know, on the waterways and stuff, you know, it's so much public land. Like, you know, we looked at down by Eastport, shout out to Eastport Marina, you know, on Dale Hollow Lake, like that's virtually almost all public land on the shoreline. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, there is some private chunks obviously here and there, but you know, when we're typically down there in the spring, there's guys coming down to go out turkey hunting. And
oh yeah,
you know, I know when we were out there in the fall too, like, you know, there was guys out deer hunting. And you know, being able to access some of that land coming in off water, because a lot of it is kind of landlocked, right? It's mm-hmm. private, public water, you know what I mean? So you almost have to approach it that way, but you're getting into areas that are virtually almost untouched doing that, which is super unique. You know, what, whether you're using a kayak, a boat, you know, whatever.
There's a lot of, I mean, there's a lot of options out here. I see all kinds of, at this point, all kinds of hunters that are out here, and just the, I guess the options that they have.
Sure.
It's pretty cool. I mean, of course, kayaks, right? Your reach is going to be real. I mean, especially with a motor.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're going to be able to do a lot of hunting with something like that.
I mean, that's how we're duck hunting this weekend. Kayaks and motor and, you know, just getting back to some stretches and, you know, some of it I'm familiar with from last year, but, you know, like I see Brad's in the chat, you know, I was talking to him and we're going to go out I'm going to go out and, you know, scout some areas that, you know, may have some really good potential that are, you know, off some beaten path, like logging roads, you know, gravel roads, stuff like that in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of this national forest. So, yeah. You know, or state forest it is. So it'll be super unique, man. And, I'm excited for it.
Yeah. I wish, man, it's funny. Like now, like there's some regret sets in, you know, cause I'm like, I can't go on these adventures anymore and like learn some new stuff.
I told you, all you got to do is fly into Chicago, Madison, or Milwaukee. I'll pick you up. I got a spare shotgun.
Yeah.
Good to go, bro. I'll drop you back off at the airport on my way home.
It'll be like wham, bam, you know, flying Friday night, hunt Saturday, hunt like, Sunday morning, fly like, back Sunday.
Sir, do you have dead ducks in your suit or in your carry-on?
I know, like, what would be the logistics in that? Like, how do I get those back?
A lot of times what guys do is dry ice and package them up in a box and ship them, like, ship UPS, them like, second day or whatever.
You know, all right.
The dry ice will last you a little bit, so.
Brad, I really, really want to. I'm between a rock and a hard place here with this new job.
Well, we were talking about that last night, you know, like we don't have the luxury of Brad where like,
yeah,
the second down to the second when the time turns to legal shooting light, Brad is climbing out of his stand because he's already got a deer on the ground.
Yeah, because
he just shot it right at, you know, the flicker.
I know
the second, you know?
And you know, it's funny as a hunter, like you're out there and you're like, all right, cool. I'm in a good place, you know? And you know that Brad's got like this private section, you know, next to the public. And then as soon as it gets light out and, you know, just in general, you're just listening. And then, you know, and I remember like, we were like, that was close. Like, that sounds like Brad.
Oh, sure I knew enough. It was like you in know, our sure group enough. Text. I was like, yep, Brad got one. It's like, cause I knew like, because I'm familiar with that lay of like his land. I've helped him drag a couple deer out and do some scouting and things like that over there. And he told me what tree stand he was going to go in, and I knew where his stand was. And the direction that crack came from, I was like, yep, Brad's done.
I know.
Like, pretty sure that was Brad.
I know. It's funny, I text too.
Brad, and I was like, was that you? He's like, yep, I'm done.
I was going to say, then we all start communicating through phones, like, you know, right after that, you know.
Yeah.
It's like everyone wants to know where it came from, and, you know, but not only that, you hear Brad and then you hear crack, crack, you know, and you're like, man, all these farmlands, everybody's just getting into them. Yeah.
Brad, just get it done, boys. We try.
Yeah.
But no, it's super exciting. So, before we forget about it, we gotta do the tick update, and I want to throw this out there because I think you told me you got some hate mail from it. And I know I was talking with my good friend Matt Gibson about it. And he's like, so this is a funny story, man. He was listening to that episode on the way to his club's championship. Gets out of his truck, unloads his boat, goes, parks his truck, gets on the water. And he's like starting to freak out. He's like checking his legs and stuff for ticks now. And then he realized, like, I didn't even walk through grass. I walked through a gravel parking lot. What am I doing?
He's they're like, they're like, everywhere.
And I've had a couple people mention to me, like, they're kind of, like, weirded out by it now. And it's, you know, other thing was, and huge shout out and thank you to Steiger for coming on and kind of sharing his story. You know, I'm sure that's not an easy thing to talk about, but you know, that dude's been through a lot, and the fact that he's found some stuff that has helped him through all that stuff that could potentially help many, many other people. And you know, obviously there was a worry with you that, you know, hey, Jay might have Lyme disease or something because you had a breakout rash and things like that, and you just didn't know. But you got some blood work done and the results came back
negative. Oh. Yeah. So no, so what it was too is that I still have some of the bumps. Tick man. That's right. Tick man. You know. I like to get under your skin. But I think that's more Matt's thing though. But no, I mean, so yeah, so I mean, actually the people that have reached out like have been helpful. It's yeah, like you said, hate mail. It was really hate mail. Everybody's a lot of good ideas and, you know, things to look out for and just kind of, you know, comparing notes. You know, Aaron's been a, you know, a big help with that. I've been talking to him. And I ended up getting the doxycycline. It was a 7-day, two pill a day for 7 days treatment. And then I got the Vital Plan.
Sure.
Honestly,
yeah, I ordered that while we were on the podcast.
I did. And I'm doing the two applications a day of like three pills each, which is a lot. But you know what? I'll be honest, man. I don't know if I feel any different with that stuff. It's really expensive, and I'm expecting like, I don't know. I want like a superpower or something because the amount of money those things cost. Like, I really, really hope they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. Because you really don't feel it per se, but then again, maybe I'm not applying it all the way, like, you know, maybe I'm not.
What'd you think it was going to be, like Oxycontin or something, dude?
No,
like,
it's not that. It's just that you just, I don't like, where are these differences? You know what I mean? Like, it's, you just look for just something to be more on the up and up, you know. And I'm not saying things are worse or better, it's just like, you know, I'm like, you know, just the amount of money that they cost. You're like, I really hope these things are doing something, you know, and it's more of like a POS thing.
Sure.
Safety. Yeah. But yeah, So I got tested for Alpha Gal, which is, that's like the Lone Star tick bite. I think some American dogs, dog ticks can give you those.
Sure.
But that's where you're allergic to red meat. Mm-hmm. So like, it would be like cows. And it's different variations. It's not like you eat something and you puke your brains out. It really just, it has to do with you. I guess it extends to pork. It doesn't extend to deer, which is interesting. But again, I don't know that. Like, your body could be different. Mm-hmm. Some people break out in rashes. Some people get like swollen lymph nodes or whatever. It just hits you different. Some people, you get barely anything. You know, there's other stuff, you know, like more intestinal stuff that'll happen too. But, I don't know. Like, I was really, it's, you know, it's crazy because when you look at the two diseases, right? Oh, and then Alpha Gal doesn't go away, you know, yeah. So that stays with you. So does Lyme will go away, but Alpha Gal stays with you. And if you get another tick bite, I guess it really amps it up again.
Sure.
Especially if it's, you know, from one of those ticks, but it becomes like a wager of like, you know, those two. I mean, there's four, right? But those two are like the most major. And you're like, if I had to choose between each, you know, either one of these, I still don't know what I would pick because they both suck in their own way, you know, and they affect you in different ways, you know. So it's like, but no, everything is good.
No, I was just going to say, well, hopefully some folks learn some stuff from that episode and that they, you know, now they're educated, they're watching out for it, and they don't end up with either, you know.
No,
I mean, that's the winning formula. You don't end up with anything, you know.
Like, just treat your clothes with the permethrin. You know, they have like lotion for your skin that's going to be exposed. You can do that stuff. They got sprays. Matt's a nut. But I mean, you just got to take the precautions because, like, we're all getting older, right? I mean, except for you younger bucks out there, you know, it's different when you're younger versus when you're older, and stuff just tends to stick with you a little longer and it might hit you harder. So
sure.
You know, and I was freaked out, you know, about it. So that just basically taught me like, okay, well then you've learned your lesson, dude.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, we really can't say I'm like out of the woods either. Right.
Sure.
We waited the 4 weeks, got the blood test, but I could still show signs of it down the line.
Sure.
More like Lyme, I guess, but I mean, there's still always that chance. So you just really got to take it seriously and protect yourself. I mean, and your family for that matter.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, what if you're in the car and you get one of those in the car and that stupid thing's hanging out and then it latches on to one of your kids or, you know,
well, same thing. Like, you know, you come home, sit on the couch in your clothes and, mm-hmm. you know, they jump on the couch. And next thing you know, wife, kids, dog, whatever sits down and.
Yeah. All they need is a host.
Yeah. Right.
You know, so, I mean, but, you know, if you do bring one in the house and it doesn't get on anything, it's likely to die. It's going to dry up because our houses are not humid and that's where they thrive.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting, man. And, you know, I'm glad you're all right. And, you know, everything came back clear and hopefully it stays that way. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm still a little weirded out. I mean, you know,
dude, every time I go out, like I was telling you the other day, dude, I went and switched a camera location and did some scouting and stuff. And every time I get back to the truck, I'm like, God damn you, Jay. And I'm like looking at my legs, like pulling my pant legs up, checking my shoes, making sure, because I didn't have my boots with me. But, you know, but at the same time, you know, I'm thinking to myself as I'm driving down the road after that, like, man, I'm glad, like, I'm more aware of it because I used to be so negligent towards it. You know,
we got away with murder.
Sure.
My God. Like, I mean, if we did get bit, I didn't know it. I mean, I've had a couple ticks on me, but I mean, in the past, but what I'm saying is, you know, yeah, I know I saw that.
Brad said, that's why when I come home, I get naked and let the wife give me a good once over.
Yeah. Dude, you know what's funny?
We know what you're trying to do, pal.
Let me tell you, like, how
Brad's like, I'm just gonna go home and tell my wife I was hunting so I can get naked. Maybe something happens.
Well, I remember when I found that one that I was talking to you when I was on the phone with you, and I found it.
Yeah,
and then I called Kathy and I was like, hey, I was like, you've got to take this thing out. I can't do it. Like, I can't. It's not at a good angle. I'm not gonna be able to do anything for it. And let me just tell you, like, you get like you kind of get like this little view into maybe what prison life is like, you know, and, you know, just imagine yourself, you know, standing next to your loved one. And then you're like, oh, and then, well, and then they're like, oh, I don't have a good angle here. Can you get a little higher? And then you're like, yeah, sure. I'll stand on the side of the tub. And then lean over and put my hands on the wall, you know, and it's just like, you're just having like, it is such, you really got to be in a good place and just hope, you know, there ain't no surprises coming because you ain't ready, you know. That was one of the more embarrassing moments in my life. And I hope that, see, so now I'm going to even spray permethrin on my skin. Don't do that. It's a joke. But because I don't want to go hunting with you guys and I have to have a situation. Hey, you guys got to check me. I'm going to bend over and cough real quick. You know, I mean, it's. Oh,
well, God. I remember there was a situation one time we were taking a trip up to the UP and I think it was that same trip Eric went on. And on the way up, we got pretty much right on the border of Wisconsin and the UP. And we camped in some tall grass off the side of the road. And we go to breakfast the next morning. And when we were breaking down camp, we noticed there was a bunch of ticks, like, in one of the tents. 4 in the morning.
Join me, Chef Jean-Paul Bourgeois, and the whole crew here at Duck Camp Dinners every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV. Birds up in the
sky. And we're sitting at breakfast, and our buddy Joe, like felt something on his back. So he's like, hey man, like, will you come check it out? And we're in the middle of this like little podunk diner bathroom.
Yeah.
And he lifts up his shirt and sure enough, he had a tick in his back. So I had to, you know, I had a sewing kit or something with us and heated up a needle and with a lighter and just poked it in the back of the head. It backed out, got it out. But then, you know, I'm like, dude, you know, check the rest of yourself. So he's in the bathroom stall, you know, doing a whole inspection.
Yeah, once over. Yeah. I know.
All right, we're getting a little carried away
here. Yeah.
We're getting away from the PG stuff.
I know, we're getting into like 13 range here, buddy.
But Eric said he thought he had a tick as well. I think I found one like crawling on me or something. Like, we definitely found the infestation. Yeah. You know, and dude, and that was the thing. We were setting up camp at like, I think it was like midnight or something, 11 o'clock, and you know, we just pitched tents, crawled in, passed out. Next morning, woke up, broke down camp, and, you know, that's when we discovered these ticks in the tents. And then I think everybody kind of checked themselves. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, Joe found one in his back. He was totally fine, got it out, but it was just, you know, it's one of those situations, man, where it's
I mean, it's just, it wouldn't be so bad if the damn things weren't like carrying diseases now.
Right. Yeah, like if it was just a mosquito bite, right? You know what I mean?
Then you got West Nile, dude. You know what I mean? Like,
well, yeah, but
it just never ends. You know, I mean, just things are becoming more prevalent. You know,
sure, that's the problem. Sure.
You know, you just got in the way it's swarming the country. I mean, really, the only way you're going to escape it is in those colder locations, you know, like Canada.
It's high as 65 today, dude. We're getting there.
So. Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing too, right? I mean, your ticks, you'll have like that die off or whatever the hell they go, where they go, and whatever they do, they can go somewhere. You know, when it gets colder, you know, right. I mean, and then you could be a little looser with, or more loose, looser, I don't know, whatever, with more how you're treating it.
Yeah.
I mean, because after a while, they're not going to be able to survive out there. Again, they need heat. They need like humidity, a certain level.
Yeah,
you know. So it's just like bees, right? It gets too cold, a bee can't fly.
Right.
You know. So, but just be safe, I guess. You know, it's don't put yourself in that situation. And because I've already heard people that like that their kids got it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's bad for a little kid because that'll really jack you up.
I think the only thing that younger kids have going for themselves is their immune system, for the most part, is obviously working full gear, whereas us old guys, it's starting to deteriorate, you know, and it's not as strong as it used to be. So
No. But yeah, so.
Good stuff, man.
Yeah.
I like this. We got to do this more often, just a solo chat. We're already in an hour.
I saved up all these words all year.
Somebody's going to have to get the count on how many times Jay talked tonight.
Yeah.
Well, you talked quite a bit in that tick episode because you were freaking out and thought you were going to die.
Yeah. You never know, lad. Am I going to wake up tomorrow? I don't know.
Right. But no, good stuff, man. Good luck this weekend, dude. Hope we're getting some trophy pictures from you.
Yeah, I hope so too. You guys too, man. You too, Eric. You know, man up.
Brad's going to be grouse hunting, and he's duck hunting with us on Sunday. So should be cool. I'm excited, man.
Yeah.
But good stuff, man. Good luck to everybody out there getting ready to go out there and enjoy the hunting season. I know, you know, some seasons have already been open. Some guys are and gals are harvesting some animals, which is cool to see. Those of you still out there fishing, get after it. Now is the time to be on the water and, you know, catch that fish of a lifetime. And this is just like the spawn, right? You know, like you have that chance at that big, big fish. So, and not only that, but you got a lot of other cool fisheries like up in the north here. You got like the salmon runs going on right now out of the Great Lakes. And
yeah, walleyes are waking up.
The Walters are going. We're going to be eating some Walters this weekend. I got some in the freezer that I'm pulling out tonight, and we're going to have a little fish fry at camp. So I'm excited for that. I caught a few nice ones this year out on the home lake, so saved them for hunting camp. So I'm excited, man.
Yeah. Oh, I want to say too, I got a couple things wrong on the gun season. I got mixed up with turkey season. Turkey season's like a month and a half, and then it's still broken up by weeks depending on where you're at out here in Tennessee. So it's not as vast as I said. I mean, there's muzzle loader out here and all that other good stuff, but it's still all new to me.
Jay's next purchase.
Yeah, it's like, no, I'm not doing that. I'm good. I had a chance to get one of those before. I was like, I just don't know if I want to learn that.
I keep thinking about it. I think it'd be cool.
I might have a different opinion down the road, but
like Pennsylvania. I think I saw this on a, it was either a Hunting Public episode or it was a Meat Eater episode. And Pennsylvania's got a flintlock season where they use the old flintlocks. Yeah. Yeah. Super cool. I always thought that'd be awesome.
Yeah. So, yeah. We got a first timer out here, man.
Yeah.
Joseph Gaten. What's up, brother?
What's up, man? Welcome to the show, brother. But, yeah, man. Thanks, everybody, that tuned in tonight live. If you guys missed part of the show, you could always go back, rewatch on Facebook, YouTube. Gets uploaded to the podcast platforms right away. Just search Paddle, the letter N in Finn. And, shout out to all the podcast listeners. You guys are awesome. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Mr. Randall, thanks for saying more than two words tonight.
Hey, no problem, buddy.
Good luck, everybody, and we'll see you next week. We're here typically 7 Central, 8 Eastern. We did a little early tonight because I got to get packed up, ready to go, because I'm leaving right after work tomorrow, or as soon as Eric gets his ass to my house. That means hurry up, Eric. No dilly-dallying. But, man, we will see you guys next week. As always, tight lines. Smooth paddle.
Good paddling. Peace.
Peace. Thanks for tuning in to another killer episode here on Paddle and Finn. Be sure to drop a 5-star rating, a thumbs up, or smash that subscribe button on any platform you're listening in on. Be sure to check us out on Waypoint TV, waypointtv.com. Make sure you sign up for the Fantasy Kayak Fishing League at paddleandfin.com/fantasy. You could support this show through Patreon, patreon.com/paddleandfin. Don't forget to check out the website, paddleandfin.com. Catch us on YouTube. If you got a question, comment, or want to see a future guest on the show, be sure to email us at paddleandfin@gmail.com. Shout out to our show supporters, Yak Gadget. You can check out all the fine kayak accessories at yakgadget.com. Pelican Professional. For all your cases, coolers, and lighting needs, go to pelican.com. Rocktown Adventures, your Midwest premier paddle sports destination, go to rocktownadventures.com. Eastport Marina, the beautiful destination on Dale Hollow Lake. If you're looking for lodging, kayaks, kayak accessories, or anything fishing related on the beautiful Dale Hollow Lake, go to eastport.info. And Jigmasters Jigs. When in doubt, get the jig out. Go to jigmasters.com and fill your tackle boxes today.
I'm Will Cooper, and you're listening to Hunt Stand's Make Your Mark podcast on the Waypoint Podcast Network. Stick around as I bring you more stories and interviews from veteran hunters and industry professionals who inspire us all to be better equipped in the woods and in life.
Join Captain Justin Leake and Meredith McCord for the best fishing action along Panama City Beach. Tune in to Chasing the Sun every Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV.